Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we're in our 21st year bringing these broadcasts to you. And we praise the Lord for this station, for all the good support, all the prayers we've had over the years. If this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. And for those who have been with us for many years, we appreciate you and we thank you. We hope you also keep coming back each and every Sunday. Today we're going to be talking about dealing with temptation. And this is a big subject because it's something every Christian deals with and every non-Christian actually also deals with each and every day of their life. We have an enemy of our soul. We have an enemy that tries to pull us away from our destiny, from our calling. And so this is an important subject. And we're going to look to our Master Jesus Christ for direction and for guidance in teaching this subject of dealing with temptation. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Matthew chapter 4. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the message today, I just want to give a brief update what's going on in Kenya. We're into the third month of our school construction project. We're building a primary school for grades 1 through 8, with preschool to go with it also, and eventually we'll have 200 to 300 students there in Makunda Village. And the important thing, besides teaching a good education, the important thing is this is going to be an evangelism outreach, because many of the children coming to the school will be Muslim children, and so we can give them a good meal and give them a good education at the same time, steeped in a Christian environment where we're going to be singing songs to Jesus and talking about Jesus in the school. And so this is going to be an evangelism outreach. We're going to need about $300,000 to get everything taken care of, get the school built, get it all stocked with computers and desks and all of that stuff. And so if you think you could be a part of this project, we'd love to have you consider being a part. Pray about your part. Contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can get you more details on this school construction project. Well, today we're going to be talking about dealing with temptation, and this is a big subject, as I said in the preview, because every single person deals with temptation, and more so for Christians after they become born again, because the devil wants to take you out. He wants to tempt you and get you to sin, lead you into sin, and eventually take you out of your destiny, take you out of your calling. And so this is the devil's war on our life, on our soul. And so we have to look to God's word and to God himself and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, on how to deal with temptation, because Jesus dealt with it when he was a man on this earth. He dealt with it as a man, just as we deal with it. And so we're going to look here in chapter 4 of Matthew. And before we start in that scripture, I just want to recite here a scripture from James chapter 1, verse 13. And James says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." So if you are facing temptation today and you're succumbing to temptation and you can't seem to get on top of it, you can't seem to get on top of the hill where God is, where you want to walk with God, and you have a tendency to blame God, and this is very common among man. We shake our fist at God and we get angry at God. Some people walk away from God who are already born again believers, and they want to get angry at God and accuse God of picking on them, accuse God of tempting them and leading them into temptation. And so James makes it clear here that God is not the one who tempts us. It says God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. And so you have a loving Father. You have a Father that wants the best for you, that cares for you. You have a Father who created us in his own image, and he created us to enjoy life on this earth. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He created us to have a good life, a life of prosperity. Well, there's times we have struggles. There's times we have maybe even poverty. I've been to Africa for many years. I know what poverty looks like. But even in the midst of poverty, people can have joy. People can have fun. People can enjoy their life and give thanks to God for their life, even in the midst of poverty. And so God is a good God. He is a good Heavenly Father, and so is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed his perfect, precious blood that we can be free of sin, that we can be delivered of the bondage that the devil wants to put on to us. And so this is the plan for God, that we have a good life here on this earth. James goes on to say in James 1:14, but each one is tempted when he is carried away by his own lust. And then when that lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. He's talking about spiritual death there, and in some cases, physical death also. Sin can certainly bring physical death. It causes us to do foolish things, make foolish decisions, and so it can certainly bring forth foolish death. But James makes it clear there that God is not leading us into temptation. He is not the one who tempts us. The one who tempts us is the devil, and the devil is the enemy of our soul. Well, if you go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Apostle Paul says in that passage of scripture on spiritual warfare, he says, stand firm. When all else fails, or when all else happens, or when all else is considered, stand firm, because we have a devil who is our enemy. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle is against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so Paul says, stand firm. You're going to be tempted. And so my message to all of you listening today, whether you're a believer or not, is you're going to get tempted, and it's not from God. God isn't the one who tempts us, so don't get mad at God. Don't shake your fist at God. Understand that your battle is against the devil, and your battle is against the demons and the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so put your effort and put your focus and your attention on battling back the enemy of your soul by standing firm, by spending time in God's Word, by spending time studying God's Word, spending time worshiping God, listening to worship music. Put worship music on in your house and spend time reading God's Word, spend time in prayer. All of these things then will deliver you from the temptation and the bondage of the devil. Well, in Matthew chapter 4, this is the most important teaching we have by Jesus Christ on the issue of temptation, because Jesus himself was tempted. And he was tempted in a way that no other man has been tempted, because the devil knew if he could take Jesus down, if he could get Jesus to sin, then the whole plan of redemption would be set aside. The whole plan of redemption would be cast off, because without a sinless lamb going to the cross, without the sinless blood of Jesus Christ being shed on the cross and shed at the whipping post, without that precious sinless blood, there would be no redemption, because God knew that Jesus was eventually going to go to the cross. God knew that his son was sinless and that his son would be able to withstand the temptation, but he did it as a man. He was called the Son of Man and the Son of God at the same time. He was fully divine, but he lived his life with the same temptation, the same struggles, the same issues, and the same problems that we have as a man. Well, in Matthew chapter 4, it starts in verse 1, says, "And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." This was the very first act of Jesus Christ after he was baptized as a man. In chapter 3 of Matthew, Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit came and lit on Jesus, or landed on him, and then the heavens opened up, and the Word of God came, and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." After he was baptized and after God commissioned him, the very first thing was Jesus was led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter, here it is, it says that the devil is the tempter. So that God makes this clear here in this passage of Scripture that he is the tempter, the devil. The tempter came and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Well, Jesus was hungry. Anybody that has fasted for even 3 days knows you can get hungry. Even after one day, you can have strong hunger pangs and have a desire to go back and eat. But only by the power of God and the grace of God can you fast for 7 days or 3 days. And certainly by 40 days, Jesus was very hungry. I'm sure he'd lost a lot of weight. I'm sure he was desiring to eat. But he answered the devil in verse 4. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Well, the reason this was the first temptation, and that Jesus spoke that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, was because Jesus was showing us that the Word of God is our solution to dealing with temptation from the devil. That the Word of God is more powerful than the devil's temptation. The Word of God is more powerful than sin, because the Word of God is Jesus Christ himself. And so the Word of God is how we have to deal with the temptation of the devil. When the devil comes to you and he tempts you in whatever way you're weak, and the devil knows your weaknesses, he knows everything about your life. The demons that track you and track your family are familiar spirits. Some of them have been tracking your family line for generations, even centuries possibly. These demons know everything about your life. They know where you're weak. They know where you're lonely. They know where you have temptation with lust or pornography or going back to certain drugs that have been a problem and a nemesis in your life. And so these demons know how to tempt you. And so they will come to you and they will tempt you in ways that you are weak. Well, the devil knew that Jesus, after 40 days, was certainly weak and hungry. Anybody would be in that situation. And so the devil says, "Jesus, just perform a miracle and turn this stone into bread." And Jesus didn't go for that temptation. He said, "I'll eat on my own terms. I'll eat when I decide to eat. And I'm not going to perform a miracle here to satisfy you, devil, or try to satisfy your manipulation and your tricks on me." Jesus said, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And so the word is bread. At one point in John chapter 6, Jesus called himself the bread of life. He called himself the bread of life. And he meant by that that his word and that himself and his body and his life sustains us. And we can look at Jesus Christ and we can say that he is our sustainer. He is more important to us than food, and he sustains us in ways that food cannot. And so one of the things that I notice when I come back here to America is just the people here are so big, and gluttony is a problem here in America because people don't feed themselves with the Word of God for the most part. Many people do not have a good relationship with God. They might call themselves a Christian, they might call themselves a believer, but they really don't have a good relationship with God in a way they're a cultural Christian or a traditional Christian, and they've maybe inherited their faith or inherited their Christianity from their parents and their grandparents, who probably were more hungry and more devout and more fervent in their prayers and more fervent in their following of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I see here in America that gluttony is a big problem. People lust after food beyond what is necessary for a good life. They lust after food because they're trying to fill themselves with an emptiness, fill themselves with a void in their life that should be filled with something like the Word of God, should be filled with something like a walk with Jesus Christ that would fill that spiritual emptiness and that void. And so this can be a problem for many people. It leads to all kinds of health problems, and it leads to all kinds of early death and lots of surgeries. And now you see the most important or the most in demand drugs in America now are these weight loss drugs, where people can lose 25% of their weight just taking these magic pills. And so God wants us to look to Him, and He wants us to look to Jesus Christ, the Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so when you feast on the Word, and beloved, if you've never fasted, I would recommend that you fast, even one day or 2 days, maybe 3 days, and you'll start to see the power of the Word to overcome hunger, especially those of you who deal with gluttony. Fast and pray and read God's Word. Get you a bottle of water and the Bible and go to a quiet place, a secret place. Spend time reading God's Word. Spend time acknowledging God and getting that Word into your heart and into your soul. And you will overcome gluttony, temptation. You'll overcome any kind of temptation that you have when you spend time with God and you spend time in prayer and fasting. And so the flesh is weak. That's why the devil came and appealed to the flesh through hunger. He appealed to the flesh, and our flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41, Jesus said to the disciples, watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so the devil came to Jesus, tempted him through the flesh. And so that is the weakest part of our being. We have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a body. And so the flesh, the body, is the weakest part of us. And that is the part the devil will come and tempt us first. And that's why gluttony and temptations of the flesh are so prevalent in our society here in America today. Well, then in verse 5, the devil takes Jesus to the second temptation. It says, the devil took him into the holy city, that is Jerusalem, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. Well, this pinnacle was very high. I've read that it was 440 feet from the top of the pinnacle to the bottom of the Kidron Valley. And so the devil is going to tempt Jesus to jump off of the pinnacle. And he said to him in verse 6, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Well, that's a scripture from Psalm 91. We do have angels to protect us. We have guardian angels to go with us, and we can also have at other times other angels to go with us and protect us. And so the devil was tempting Jesus to do something here that Jesus knew to be very foolish. And so Jesus knew that the devil was tempting him in a way that it was not God's desire to be accepting the devil's proposition here. And so this is another temptation that we all deal with. And this is a temptation that the devil tries to get us to make foolish decisions, to do stupid things that puts us in jeopardy, puts our body and our soul and even our whole being into jeopardy. And we don't trust God. Instead, we trust the devil, and we go rushing into situations. We go rushing into temptation, and there's no good way out. And so we cry out to God. We get painted into a corner. We get boxed into a corner because we haven't thought out and prayed for the solution or seen the whole scene as it's laid out in front of us. We don't see the outcome, and so we go rushing into situations, and the only thing we can do then is scream, "Help, God!" We cry out to God, and we've all been in that situation. I've been there several times myself, and we have to pray before we get into situations. Pray that God will not lead us into temptation, which he does not, but pray that we have wisdom to deal with the temptations of the devil, and that we can see through the schemes of the devil, and we can see through the plans of the devil and all the darts that the devil shoots at us. We can see through it to see, before we get into perilous situations, that is going to be the outcome. Well, I've got some scripture here from Proverbs 14:16. It says, "A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless." Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." Pride is a problem for every single person. We do things out of pride that gets us in trouble. We do things out of pride that we think we are invincible. We think we are indestructible, and we are very arrogant. And so we walk into situations then where we need Jesus to come rescue us, where we need God to rescue us. And Jesus said this to the devil in verse 7. Jesus said to the devil, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." We have to trust God and not lean on our own understanding, and don't put God to the test. Don't ask God to come rescue you all the time when you haven't prayed beforehand, when you haven't looked to the end of a matter, and trust God to give you the wisdom so you stay out of perilous situations. Well, verse 8, the third temptation, again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said to him, "All these things will I give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Well, the devil will come to you and he will offer you the kingdoms of the world. We see this oftentimes in celebrities, people who want to get fame and fortune, and they turn their whole life over. They sell their soul for a pittance. They sell their soul to get fame, fortune, money in their pocket, and big homes and fancy clothes and jets and fancy jewelry. And so they've turned their life over to the devil to have the kingdoms of the world. And so when you are tempted by the devil to rush forward into situations where you can have great wealth or great fame or great fortune, you need to stop, and you need to pray, and you ask the Lord to give you wisdom and give you direction so that you can see through the plans of the devil. Jesus didn't want the kingdoms of the world. He already had the kingdoms of the world, but as a man, he could have fallen for that temptation, but he did not. Proverbs 16:4 says, "Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." And then in the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, who was the world's richest man and had everything on this earth that any man could have, he said in Ecclesiastes in the last chapter, verse 13, the conclusion when all has been heard is this: fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Verse 14, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And so we don't worship the devil. Jesus said, worship God. We serve God only. We worship God only. We're not going to fall for your tricks, devil. We're not going to fall for your temptation to make us the ruler of all the kingdoms of the world. Beloved, stay in your lane, stay on your knees, stay in prayer, stay in the Word, and you will not fall for the tricks of the devil. Yes, God may put riches into your pocket, he may put riches into your hand, but it doesn't have to wreck your life. It doesn't have to mean you sell your soul. It is not money that is the problem for people. It is the love of money that leads people into temptation and to damnation and condemnation. Keep your eyes on God, serve him, worship him, and you will be just fine with whatever temptation and whatever riches come your way. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We thank the Lord for all these good messages, and we hope you enjoy them. We'd love to hear from you. Help us keep these good broadcasts coming. You can contact us at Gathered the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gathered the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can check us out on PayPal. Use your debit or credit card, paypal.me/gatheroutcasts. paypal.me/gatheroutcasts. Go to Facebook at facebook.com/Jim Rouse. See pictures of our ministry there in Africa. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.